Hi there, you're listening to Cat Talk, a podcast series brought to you from Stockholm by Kunskapsskolan Education, reflecting and connecting educators of more than 100 schools that use the Kunskapsskolan Education program across Sweden, the UK, the Netherlands, India, USA, and the Middle East, empowering students to master the challenges of today and shape the world of tomorrow. Glad you're listening. Kunskapsskolan Education can be found all over the world, with ties across borders and contacts between educators and students alike. Cat Talk wants to build on that network by creating a number of country portraits. Before the summer break, we had a close look into Kunskapsskolan in India, and in this episode, we'll shift our focus to Kunskapsskolan in Saudi Arabia, to Noon Academy in Jeddah, to be exact, a school with over 700 students aiming to prepare its students through bilingual education for working in a global setting at the highest international standards. How does that work? Why do parents say there is something different about this place? And why is it stressed that Noon's international education does not come at the cost of students' heritage? We talk about this and many other things with Nirmin Alireza, Academy Director of Noon Academy, and of course, with Christian Wertel, Director of Education at Kunskapsskolan globally and co-host of all Cat Talk episodes. A very warm welcome to the both of you. Great you're here.
Thank you, Koos.
Thank you, Koos.
Wonderful. Just get our listeners a bit of a picture about Noon Academy. Can you describe the school a bit and, you know, the context?
Sure. I think what I'd like to start off with is probably the intangibles, because I think first and foremost, Noon is a family. It's a community. Of like-minded people who really feel very strongly about our mission and our vision and share our values. And I think this is really important because it's what I believe allows us to be authentic. And for me, and I'm sure, you know, you'll agree that authenticity is key. And it's what makes Noon special and what makes it really a pleasure to, you know, to come to work every day. Our families, our visitors will often comment about, you know, how it just feels different. When you walk through the doors and observe how people interact with each other and the energy of the place, how happy children are when they're at school. And at the heart of it, I really think that it's that authenticity that they're connecting with and that shared purpose that they're sensing. But for the more tangible parts, Noon is based in Saudi Arabia, as you mentioned. We're currently in our eighth year of operation. We have around 920 students at this point. We have classes that are ranging from nursery to year 10. So we grow annually with our students. So by 2027, we'll have our first graduating class, inshallah. We do run the Cambridge curriculum, but as you mentioned, with a strong focus on grounding students in their linguistic, religious, and cultural heritage. So the aim here is really to develop into quote-unquote local citizens, meaning, you know, they are grounded locally, but at the same time, they're very much connected globally.
Now, you are the initiator of Kunskapsskolan in Saudi Arabia. I'm curious, what brought you to Kunskapsskolan as an educational model to use in Saudi Arabia, where there are, of course, a lot of educational models around the world? What made you come to Kunskapsskolan?
I think that's a really good question. And it probably starts with what we were looking for, you know, as founders of the school. So we weren't simply interested in establishing another international school in Saudi Arabia. We were looking to start a school with very particular learning and developmental outcomes for our children. You know, we felt strongly about this, largely based on our own experience and what we were increasingly witnessing in our communities. This might seem strange maybe for other in other contexts, but what was happening with the rise of international education in Saudi Arabia and in the region is that you could see an increasing number of students that were losing mastery of their mother tongue and losing a connection with their history and heritage. You know, to add to that, many of us opted to send our children to boarding schools, which obviously created an even larger divide between children, you know, and their local context. So I guess we believe that any education that truly helps students realize their potential needed to afford them a good sense of their own identity. And obviously language and culture, you know, are so integral and closely intertwined to the concept of identity. Therefore, I think it was really important for us to find a strategic partner that recognized the importance of that, and you know, not only recognized it, but valued and supported us and the, you know, with the unique needs of our community. And I think that's what made Kunskapsskolen such an ideal partner, is that we were both focused on developing students' potential. And you know, really, because KET puts the students at the heart of everything they do, context is, you know, naturally built into their program. You know, built into the model is trying to understand the individual needs of every student. So that naturally lends itself to understanding the unique context of every school. So which is why, you know, obviously, I think a KET school in India is very different from the KET school, say, where you are in the Netherlands or Sweden, and definitely Saudi Arabia. So, you know, while there's similarities, the structure and the program can, you know, in fact, I think it must be adapted to the unique context of every school. So, you know, I think Kunskapsskolen respected that and understood the importance of doing exactly that. You know, they you know, invested in developing our bilingual program and supporting us to develop a program that, you know, really works in our context.
Christian, you've been working with Nimeen for a long time. Establishing a school or Kunskapsskolen education in Saudi Arabia is no small feat. What is your take on this? What is your experience with working together with Nimeen?
I mean, for us in Kunskapsskolen, you know, it's very important to see, you know, we see us as a global educational organization. So bringing on people like Nimeen, you know, that I've been working with for a long time has been a great force to us. Not only because Nimeen is that type of person that comes into the room and you feel you have to straighten up a bit because, you know, as she says, she's part of the family, but she always has really high expectations. She expects people to bring professionality to the room. So I think, you know, first of all, Nimeen as a person has been great for us getting into our educational and, you know, operational leader group that we have on international level. But for KED, when it comes to operating the school together with, you know, Nimeen and her team in Jeddah, has been really important for us to see how can we really work with a local and global context at the same time. I mean, I think that's the heart of Kunskapsskolen, seeing every child, but still being able to respect and work with the local curriculum, the local culture, but at the same time, being very curious and interested in the world. And I think that is where, you know, Kunskapsskolen in Saudi Arabia and Noon Academy has been a great, you know, part of our network. I think no one has as powerful being able to show that it's possible.
And a question to both of you, you work with teachers both from Saudi Arabia and from many other countries, isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this obviously, you know, it wasn't just starting, say, like, you know, a Swedish school in Jeddah or a British school in Jeddah. It was really about doing things differently to meet the needs of our student, which means, I mean, built into that is having a very mixed, a diverse group of professionals who come together to, you know, to be able to deliver that program. Obviously, that's not without its challenges. But I think what's very important is that people connect with the vision and believe it's important. And then, you know, makes those challenges, I think, easier to overcome. Definitely it presents challenges, but I think also in a way it really enriches the environment because you are dealing with so many different cultures and nationalities and languages. And that's really very powerful. And each one coming with their own set of, you know, experiences. And to find that common ground, it's challenging. But at the end, it's also a very, I think, a rewarding and powerful outcome.
Could you give an example of one of the challenges that you meet in this respect?
There's many. I mean, obviously you have, it's not always easy to find bilingual individuals. So you are, you know, you have people that work together sometimes as colleagues and work closely where there's sometimes actually a language barrier. But I think that's where also when you have a shared sense of purpose and shared values, you really can overcome even a language barrier. And when you really have a shared focus on delivering the best outcomes for your students, you can overcome anything. Obviously, another challenge is, you know, trying to do a model, say, like the KED model, that is very different to I think, how things, especially regionally, teachers traditionally work. So, you know, it does require... the model requires that you believe in children and their ability to take more ownership of the process. So a lot of times this requires a retraining for not so much the students, but really for the adults to be able to become comfortable with relinquishing some of that control over the educational process.
And Christian, is this yet another example of the fact that Kunskapsskolan education can be established anywhere in the world?
Yes, I'm positive that it can be established in any place in the world. But at the same time, as we talked about before in this podcast, it's about finding the strong leaders. As you mean, you know, you need to find that one person that believes in the local and the global context at the same time and are willing to drive that, you know, with, you know, intensity and engagement. And I think that's what Nimin has done. But I think it's very unique even to us in our context in Kunskapsskolan that, you know, from one of our schools, we have people from different countries coming into our meetings. So usually when we have an international conference, we would have, you know, the people from the Netherlands, they come from the Netherlands, people from Sweden come from Sweden and India and so forth. But then, you know, when Nermeen and her team is joining in, you get, you know, the global citizens all in one, you know, at the same time, which I think is a power for us as a network, but it's also a power for their school. And I think this is the future for education, you know, paying great respect to local traditions at the same time being global, and opening up and be curious about the world. And I think so for us, it's a great force, and I'm sure that we could do this in any part of the world.
Yeah. And I think I'll just add to that is, it's, you do get pushback. So, I mean, we'll get a teacher. We do offer the Cambridge curriculum. So, you know, I've been told by, you know, a teacher, why are you trying to do this? It just looks like you're trying to fit everything in together and it's just too difficult. And it is difficult, but you know, things that are worthwhile are usually difficult. And you know, if you want a different outcome, so if we want an outcome where students can have an education that allows them to compete globally, but at the same time, you know, remain grounded in their linguistic heritage, you have to do things differently or else you're not going to get a different outcome.
Kunskapsskolan education has its specific value in every country in the world. And those added values differ a bit. In the Netherlands, for instance, it's all about establishing a later determination of kids. That's what is an important value in the Netherlands. What would you say that, and maybe you've touched upon that earlier already, but just to make it more specific, what is the biggest added value of KED education within the Saudi Arabian context?
You know, I think to be honest, while we've come a long way, I think still as a school, we haven't fully tapped into the potential, you know, value added of Kunskapsskolan and what it has to offer. But much of that has to do with, you know, some of the challenges, some of what we've spoken about and, you know, being a startup school and then being hit with COVID also, you know, things that are also not connected to the program. But, you know, having said that, you know, no doubt there's been some significant added value. And I think, you know, first and foremost, it's offered a way of working in a school that's built very much around the needs of the students. With that and the focus on coaching, you know, there came a stark shift in the relationship dynamics that were traditionally, I think, experienced in most schools here. So traditionally, the models that exist here are more authoritarian in nature. Where teachers control and lead the educational process and students are seen more of more as recipients of an education and not so much as active agents or, you know, co-constructors of their learning. So this is, of course, you know, quite a contrast to what we aim to do as a KED school, where we really try to help students over time take more ownership of their learning. Through the process, you know, goal setting and coaching, you know, we hope that they really come to understand themselves and their needs. So what we've observed as part of the process is that our students are seen to be more confident and, you know, more able to articulate on their needs. We often hear that from parents on how children blossom, not just academically, but in terms of, you know, confidence and character. And I think that, you know, really has a lot to do with our focus on the soft skills that are developed when you run a program that basically empowers students and helps them to understand that, you know, life is what they make it, and that learning is not something that's done to them, but something or a process that they actively engage in. So like I started off saying, I definitely see the potential to gain so much more from being part of Kunskapsskolan. I don't think we've capitalized on, you know, the exchange and collaboration opportunities that we have within the network, both for our students and our teachers. But, you know, like that, I think that's definitely something we hope to change in the near future.
Is that a bit of an explanation for the fact that I hear on a video on your website, I hear some of the parents say there's really something different about this school, of this place? Is that basically what it is, that they really say, you know, it's something new, tapping in and combining basically a global citizenship with regard to the heritage of the country?
Yeah, and you know, that's why I think also we have, you know, people feel so strongly about what we're trying to do, because, you know, for many parents, it's not simply about their children getting the best education. It's, you know, it's about how they are going to develop as human beings, you know, as people, how they're going to, you know, make a difference in their own community. And yet be very comfortable, you know, being part of a larger global community.
Christian, this is a great thing.
Yeah, but I think it's whenever I go in the world, and there are always different countries, ways of operating a country, operating a culture. But in the end, I think educators, like real educators that, you know what, you know, a learning is about, it's about putting the student in the center. There will always be different curricula. There will always be different school laws. There's going to be, you know, traditions and values that you need to respect. But in the end, I think if you find the core of learning, you can do that anywhere. And that gives the power to each individual to develop themselves, to be their best self, to also learn as much as possible. And if we look at Noon Academy, for example, within this context, they still work with a global perspective. But at the same time, focusing on a really important question, you know, Arabic language, for example, which is, I think, you know, finding that balance is always important. And I think, you know, in a lot of cases, we think that, you know, okay, this system thinks like this when it comes to education, and this country thinks like this. But our experience is rather that, you know, you need to find the right educators, you need to find the right school leaders to really put the student in the center. And I think that's what the KED program is about. And I think Nermin is the perfect example of someone that really finds that balance. Having that family, you know, feeling, but at the same time, really high expectations, very professional organization. And like I said, finding that balance that I think is so important for any country.
But, you know, one of the challenges you've undertaken, Nermin, is that you make use of a dual curriculum, both in Arabic and in English. Curriculum. Could you elaborate a bit on that? How that can work side by side?
Sure. You know, but that, like, you know, like we mentioned earlier, that's really at the heart of why we started the school. So not doing that is not an option. Basically, we do have the Cambridge curriculum, and we use. But up until year two, Arabic is the main language of instruction. Up until year three, the main classroom teacher, more or less, is the Arabic teacher. So where you would still use the science, the Cambridge curriculum and standards for science, it's delivered in Arabic. So the idea is to really immerse students in their mother tongue. In some cases, you know, it's not the mother tongue. We've had parents who have opted to put their children here because they want them to learn the language, even though they're not Arabs. And then slowly starting year four, the dynamic shifts because in essence, we are preparing, you know, children to eventually sit for their IGCSEs, which is quite a rigorous examination. Obviously fluency and content is increasingly delivered in the English language, but they still continue to take subjects in Arabic, obviously Arabic language, but also Islamic studies and social studies. So there's obviously always competing for time. Time is never, it's never something we have too much of, the demands of both programs. But really, that's what's been a driving force for most of our families for the school. I mean, that's what drives them to the school. That's why they choose the school. KED has obviously invested heavily in developing the Arab International Portal, so a bilingual portal. And it's one of the things that sets Noon apart. It's one of the bilingual program is actually one of the things that we receive the most commendations for by the Ministry of Education. Even other schools looking to Noon to see how they can improve their own Arabic program. Because like you said, like I mentioned earlier, it's really a trend that we're seeing where children that should have Arabic as their mother tongue are not fluent in it.
Christian, what can we learn? What can the world learn from the experiences at Noon Academy?
I think Nameen just mentioned a few of the most important parts. Being able to work with, the double curriculum, working, bilingual, which I think is even more important for a country like Sweden right now to understand that we have a bigger portion of the population that might need support in different languages at the same time, in supporting their learning and their journey, which is up to debate in Sweden also how you should do this. I think this is a good example of what we can learn. The management team and some of the academic directors from Noon is coming over this fall to Sweden. So we're really looking forward, to share and learn between the school leaders and the teachers of Sweden. And I think it's about finding, the way to respect, the local curriculum, because any country I work in, they have complaints about their curriculum. So I think, try not to be a slave on the curriculum, rather just respect the curriculum that you have in your country. Find the ways of being broader, being bigger, being global. And I think that's what Nermeen and her team has showed us. So we're really excited to bring on the team from Noon Academy in the fall to get as many people in Sweden as possible being able to listen and learn from that experience. Because, I think I know in the Netherlands as well, in a lot of the conversation we have down there, people feel a bit trapped in their curriculum.
Exactly.
And I think, use the curriculum at least, this is one of the, one base for your work, but there is also other opportunities. Even if, as Nameen is saying, time is a limited resource, but, if you have the idea, if you have the KED program, the concept of reading and seeing every child, I think that's where we can learn the most. So we're looking forward to that learning journey together. And, hopefully we're going to be over there ourselves in, later this year.
We look forward to that.
The bilingual thing, that really appeals to me, to be quite honest, Christian.
Yeah, and I think we are a bit, I think, we understand the concept, but we're not really used to it. We are not countries, Sweden and the Netherlands, we're not countries that are used to this mixed environment in the same way as, for example, Saudi is. And especially now, we don't even have that big mix of teachers. So I think, that there is a lot to learn from these type of contexts.
A thing that our listeners might not be familiar with, Noon Academy consists of both a school for boys and for girls. Could you please elaborate a bit on why that, in the Saudi context, is a very logical thing?
Well, I guess it's not really just logical. It's also just necessary because those are the Ministry of Education guidelines. So, as a Saudi international school, we don't have the option to do it any differently. The Ministry of Education requires that all schools have separate campuses for boys and girls. This has changed slightly over the years. There are some schools that are exempted from that, schools that fall under the umbrella of, like a foreign delegation or like schools sponsored by embassies. So when we first opened Noon, you could have boys up until third grade. So the age of 9 years, within the girls' school and taught by female teachers. Starting last year, this changed. And so currently, the regulations are that up until boys can remain within the girls' school. So within the girls' school taught by female teachers up until sixth grade, so all of primary. After that, they need to be in a boys' school taught by male teachers. And, you know, things have, a lot of things have changed recently in Saudi Arabia, as, you know, anybody who, you know, follows the, you know, follows what's happening in this region would know. But at the end of the day, it still remains quite a conservative society. You know, I think that's been traditionally governed by quite strict guidelines with regards to gender mixing in, you know, both the public and the private setting. So I think even if we were to say, you know, tomorrow to our parents, you know, and actually another thing mentioning, so even though the boys can stay within the girls' school, they have to be in separate classrooms. So it has to be an all boys class and an all girls class. You know, obviously this lends itself to some inefficiencies. But I think even if we were to offer our parents, you know, the opportunity tomorrow to have mixed gender classes up until sixth grade, for the most part, that would not be their preference.
Finally, question to both of you. If you look at the impact of Kunstskolen education within the Saudi context and the cultural environment there, what do you observe in terms of development? Is there anything you can say, Nermeen?
Yeah, and I think it, what I can say really lends itself to what Christian was saying earlier. So, you know, while, you know, Kunstskolen, you know, obviously comes out of Sweden, and it's at the heart a model that is grounded in best practice, and therefore really it's suited to children and adults in general, regardless of, you know, who they are or where they come from. I believe, you know, it's a model that was developed with a strong focus on just human nature and what drives and motivates us, you know, as individuals. So even though it's not a model that was readily available in the Saudi educational landscape, it's one that families, I think teachers and children thrive in because it was developed, I think, with essentially human needs in mind. I do think that it's made a significant impact on our families in the sense that they really appreciate the centrality of, you know, positive relationships within the school and the transparency of the model, you know, where parents are really invited in as partners in their child's education. I think it's really made an impact on teachers, especially those from the region who have found, you know, the model to be really empowering and gives them a voice. It supports their, you know, continued growth and development. And this, unfortunately, is not traditionally the case in most or many of the schools here. You know, so teachers who apply to Noon will say, you know, we know that it's really hard work, but we also hear, you know, how much you value the people in your organization, how much they continue to grow and develop, and the real feeling of family that, you know, that also Christian, you know, referred to. But, you know, having said that, I also think that there is an element of the program, like I mentioned earlier, that requires some unlearning by adults, because it's really based on, you know, trusting that children are capable. And we do come a little bit from a nanny culture where children aren't always given the level of, you know, autonomy and responsibility that they're capable of. And where teachers are more used to, you know, deliver than to facilitate. So I think that's required some adapting. But I think, you know, at the end of it, it really is something that people value and value being a part of and, you know, really can see, like you mentioned earlier, the added value of it when it's given the opportunity and when people are supported to learn how to work within that model.
Meaning we're in a global family, isn't that right, Christian?
Yes, you know, we are. And I think if you look to the vision of both Saudi Arabia and other countries in the MENA region, there is a strong ask for this type of education, to give access to more students for this type of education, but also to train teachers. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to work together with Nermeen and the team to see how we can offer more opportunities for students and more opportunity to train teachers, and you know, being that big global organization that we want to be, and offer this to anyone that want to be part of our network. And I think to Kunskapsskolan, Nermeen and her professional team are the perfect partners for us.
And Nermeen, Noon Academy is growing, as you said earlier.
Indeed. Well, I think, I mean, initially when it was started as a, you know, as a project, so I don't think it's grown as quickly as they hoped it would. So initially it was supposed to be 3 campuses across Saudi Arabia. So we're still in our first campus, but I think it's better to go slowly and do things right than rush the process.
Yeah, but you know, 900 students is not a small number.
No, absolutely not.
Well, thank you very much. I wish you all the success, Nimeen. And Christian, thank you very much for attending in this cat talk.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris, for making a comfortable experience. Thanks, Christian.
All right. That's all for today. On behalf of Nimeen Alireza and Christian Wattel, thank you for listening. And if you want to know more about Kunskapsskolan education and the possibilities within your school, don't hesitate and give either Kunskapsskolan Saudi Arabia a call or contact Kunskapsskolan in Stockholm. They're very happy to be of assistance. My name is Coach Wolters, and till the next Cat Talk. You have been listening to Cat Talk, brought to you from Stockholm by Kunskapsskolan Education, working around the globe to personalize each student's education according to their individual needs and abilities using the Kunskapsskolan Education Program. If you don't want to miss any Cat Talk, go to www.kunskapsskolan.com or visit the podcast platforms Spotify, Google Podcast, or Apple Podcast.